Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Raymond Stock. He's a man we often turn to for his insights on the Middle East, matters on which he is expert, particularly those involving Egypt, where he has lived for many years. Today, he is a Shulman Ginsberg Writing Fellow at the highly regarded Middle East Forum and the author of a forthcoming biography on Naguib Mahfouz, Nobel laureate in literature. Welcome back, Raymond. It's always good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you very much, Frank, for having me back.
The pleasure's mine. Let me talk with you first and foremost about the elections that have taken place since we last talked for the new president of Egypt. I don't think it was any great surprise how it turned out, but what do you make of the overwhelming support that Field Marshal al-Sisi has received?
Well, that's a very good point, that he did, in fact, receive overwhelming support, although many critics have been downplaying his victory because of a couple of things. One is that they did have a mandatory third day voting, which, I mean, they extended it a third day to a third day and made it mandatory to vote with a 500 Egyptian pound fine if he didn't vote. So that was unusual. But nonetheless, there was about a 46% turnout. And since there wasn't a whole lot of voting on the third day, apparently, the majority of that must have been voluntary. So on top of that, he did receive 23 million votes, 96% roughly of the total, versus slightly more than 3% for the sole opposition candidate, which is a man named Hamdine Sabahi, who was a leftist and also during the Iraq War in 2005. He made an announcement supporting al-Qaeda in Iraq. So he's not kind of a funny leftist. I mean, like many leftists, he also supports Islamists at times.
This is not something that can be said of al-Sisi at the moment. He seems to be fairly adamant about his determination to root out and destroy in Egypt an organization that he is and his government have described as a terrorist organization, namely the Muslim Brotherhood. What are the implications for the Brotherhood of this outcome, Raymond?
Well, by the way, one quick point, al-Sisi received 10 million votes, more than Morsi did in his election. So he has a much larger mandate than Morsi ever had. And the Muslim Brotherhood is politically finished for the moment. I don't know if it is ever going to come back. No one can predict that. It certainly has weathered enormous crises in the past. For example, it was totally repressed under Gamal Abdel Nasser. But it did come back under Sadat. So the next president could always bring the Muslim Brotherhood back. But al-Sisi seems unlikely to do so, largely because there's just too much bitterness between them at this point. I mean, there's too much blood.
Raymond Stock, let me ask you about another group that has been much in the news of late, and that is the minority Christian Coptic population of Egypt. It fared very badly under the Muslim Brotherhood's government, and there have been a lot of retaliatory steps taken by the Brotherhood against it since Morsi's overthrow. What is the likelihood, in your estimation, that they will receive better treatment under an al-Sisi government?
Well, I think that the Copts, in fact, will, even more than under the Sur governments, perhaps receive a better deal, because the government has not been very proactive on their behalf. It has not been nearly as oppressive directly as under Morsi and Islamists, but it has not done very much to protect Christians. And although it occasionally has raised issues, for example, it did speak out on behalf of Egyptian Christians who've been murdered in Libya. So Sisi himself has frequently spoken of his high regard for the Christian community in Egypt and his desire to make sure that it receives equal treatment.
So at least it will be treated less badly, we'll hope.
When he's directly in control, which should be as of this coming weekend, when he'll be installed officially as president, then there could be a change. We have to wait and see.
Let me ask about another issue that is, of course, on our mind, Raymond Stock, and that is the likely trajectory of U.S.-Egyptian relations now that al-Sisi has received this mandate. The U.S. government under President Obama has been, to say the least, well, indifferent to the new government, if not downright hostile to it. Is that likely to change, in your estimation, now that, as I say, the election is behind al-Sisi?
Well, there was a statement in President Obama's speech at West Point, which I also want to talk about a bit. But which tried to sort of walk a fine line between rejecting Assisi's government and accepting it completely. He made a point of saying that they haven't completely stopped cooperation with the government in Cairo for the sake of maintaining the peace treaty with Israel, which is very, very important, obviously, and also to fight common enemies in the terrorist world. So, we have maintained a fig leaf alliance with Egypt under this current dispensation, but unfortunately, aid has in effect been stopped. And it's partly the administration and partly Congress at this point. Patrick Leahy in Congress has held up appropriations bill, which would give them $1.5 billion in aid this year.
Raymond, listen, I want to cover a couple of more points before we run out of time, and I'm pressing forward. Let me just emphasize that one of the things that's of concern to me, I must say, is that part of the administration's sympathies for the Muslim Brotherhood, which is translated in part to that indifference or hostility to the Egyptian government of al-Sisi, is that they may be opening the door to Muslim brothers currently being rolled up in Egypt to come to the United States as refugees. Should we be alive to that possibility, and what are its implications?
We should be very much alive to that possibility. There is, in fact, this constant clamor in the media that the Egyptian government has been ceaselessly massacring Muslim Brotherhood members and sympathizers, which is not true. There have been some violent confrontations that were initiated, even according to the Egyptian's own rights commission, by the Muslim Brotherhood and its supporters, and many, many acts of terrorism thereafter by the Islamists against the government and against civilians. But also, this is a bad rap for Sisi also, and of course he doesn't deserve it. But what's happening with the immigration, but back in February, the U.S. administration initiated regulations freeing up, liberalizing, you might say, the rules regarding allowing people into the country who have given, quote, limited material support to terrorism. And there's a fear, of course, that this will, in the case of a new case has come up, which is a student named Abdullah Awesome, who won a science award at a fair in an international science fair out in L.A. back in late May, who had been arrested in Egypt for his role in supporting the Muslim Brotherhood. He's only 17. He's an inventor. So he is a very bright young man, evidently. And there's an award waiting for him at the Ministry of Education in Egypt for his return from the United States. He has now defected to the United States.
And may be the leading edge of a lot of others that are coming here if the administration has its way. Let me just hit one more topic, please, Raymond, before we go. One of the things that is of concern, of course, in this Bergdahl episode is the prospect that Qatar, which is a government deeply aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood, is the sort of arbiter of all of this and the country assigned to protect our security against the Taliban folks that we've just released there. What are your thoughts on that subject and its implications, again, for the U.S. interest in the Middle East as well?
Well, Qatar has a very strange foreign policy, which is, on the one hand, to accommodate us. For example, our base, a huge base is there, and other facilities. And they do occasionally play an interesting backstage role in various kinds of negotiations. But the trouble is that's a double-edged sword. And their real interest is in promoting Islamism. That's their ideological goal. And you can see this in the way they finance the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and throughout the Middle East. And they were the only two countries that supported, that actually recognized the Taliban government prior to its overthrow. So they in fact, were the fig leaf for the administration to say they weren't negotiating with terrorists when they got Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, who just was freed, by giving them five mid-to-high-level Taliban figures in exchange for him.
Raymond, I'm sorry, we are way out of time. I have to let it go at that. I appreciate so much your insights and your great work at the Middle East Forum. Keep it up. Come back to us again very soon, if you would. Next up, Gordon Chang joins us with our tour of Asia right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.